The lot isn't measured and the cord not cast. Assembled of Jehovah from the word, do fast. That's our daily scripture for today. It's Micah chapter 2, verse 6. 5, excuse me, verse 5. Therefore, it says in the New American Version, thou shalt have none that shall cast the line by lot in the assembly of Jehovah. Or, in the version of yours truly from 2003, which is our daily scripture, little children, just to repeat, the lot isn't measured and the cord not cast, assembled of Jehovah from the word, do fast. Micah 2 and 5, today's scripture. In the article, Joseph and Own, the one we've been studying, which has only one part, we don't have to worry about parts 1 and 2 and 3 or any of those things, but we left off with paragraph 24, which was a quote from Wikipedia, which said, with Osiris, Amun-Re is the most widely recorded of the Egyptian gods. Actually, we didn't leave off with that, but we used that quote. And so we got that far in the article, but we actually left off with the statement that the Greek god Pan, everybody knows the god Pan from the, if you watched the cartoon series Hercules when you were a child, which I did, so not everybody knows it, probably, but the Greek god Pan was in the cartoon series with Hercules, but the Greek god Pan, according to the actual mythology, which is different from the cartoon series, was a god associated with shepherds. And Pan was a god that was half goat, or part goat, had hooves, you know, four legs, the head of a man and arms and upper body of a man, but was a young boy in the cartoon series. But in the Greek mythology, Pan is similar to the Egyptian mythology in the character of Osiris, who was shown in illustration carrying the traditional shepherd's crook and flail, right? The whip looks a little bit like the cat of nine tails, and you've got the crook, which is like the shepherd's staff with the hook on the end, a long staff that a shepherd used to hook the sheep that were, you know, wayward, and in some cases perhaps even using the flail to direct them. But Egyptian mythology has this really important god called Osiris. Okay, he's very important. Now, even we could, before we begin our reading, we could note the amazing, the lack of difference or the similarity between Osiris and Joseph, because Joseph, J-O-S, and Osiris, O-S. It begins with O-S, just like Joseph begins with J-O-S, and in the original Hebrew, it's Yosef with a Y. Yosef, where a Y is not really a consonant. So it could be perhaps just abandoned, you know, and you could have Osef or something. So, you know, Yosef is very similar to Osiris, is the point. So that's one thing very worth noting. But now we're going to read on. This is paragraph 25, approximately. It says, like Atum, we talked about the god Atum, and we need to review a little bit what was Atum. It was pictured as a god on top of the Benben stone, like the Bennu bird, and the Bennu bird lived in the sacred willow tree of Osiris, we read yesterday. We had the depiction of Osiris as having a long sideburn in addition to the beard, which was not an Egyptian trait at all. It was a Jewish trait to have a long sideburn. And it, in a similar way, Atum had that same sideburn, and so did Amun, or Amun. They all had the Semitic style beard, this being different from the Egyptian chin only beards, as we mentioned, in having the sideburns not completely shaven. It's a Bible principle from Leviticus 19 and 27. You must not cut your side locks short all around. A pair of feather horns on Amun's head, or Amun's head, became a ram's horns in associated with the Cushite chief deity. Because the Cushite chief deity was a ram, is what that says. And the ram is the symbol of the Jewish constellation Aries in the zodiac. Right? That was even noted from the coinage of the time, around the time of the birth of Jesus, where the coins, as we saw in the Green article called Green, quote unquote Green, the coins that were produced shortly after the birth of Jesus depicted this important event regarding the appearance of a star in the constellation Aries, which was explained as the planet Jupiter by one researcher that we mentioned in that article. Now, the Cushite, and that's an important discovery, very important that we discovered that, because we did the corresponding astronomical investigation and showed that the planet Jupiter was, in fact, in conjunction with, you know, other planets, or, you know, at that time and just prior to that, or the moon, in there were conjunctions going on just prior to this birth of Jesus, and it was in the constellation Aries too at the time of the birth of Jesus, and so the coinage that showed the constellation Aries right on the coin, it's a very, very important idea that the ram was therefore also a symbol to the Jewish people in some way. Not the only one, though, for the Jewish people. But the ram is a symbol of the Jewish constellation Aries in the zodiac, upon which basis did the three wise men, the Magi, watch for and respond to the manifestations of greatness within it during the day of Jesus' birth. Jesus referred to something similar to the Jewish nature of a ram in his illustration of the separation of the sheep from the goats, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 33. In that illustration, all the nations are gathered before Jesus, and he separates them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The male of both sheep and goats is called a ram. In both cases, both males of sheep and males of goats are called rams. So in that illustration, Jesus separates the sheep from the goats, because Jesus is the shepherd in that he's the shepherd, not just in that illustration, but he's also the shepherd in that illustration. So isn't that fascinating? Because Jesus is also Osiris then, and even his name, the letters of his name, if you take the, you know, Yeshua is his name in Hebrew, it's, or Yehoshua, you see that his name also starts with this Yeshua, the if you can ignore the Y at the beginning, or the J, ignore the J and you've got this first consonant being S, just like Osiris. But the male of both sheep and goats is called a ram. Okay. Osiris, as seen in the illustration above, also has a Jewish sideburn feature not common among the Egyptians. Not common among the Egyptians, that sideburn feature. That's why it was so significant, because, I mean, this was their mythology. They worshipped Osiris. Why would their god have a sideburn feature if it wasn't common among them? It's a very odd reality that's hard to explain unless it is explained by this identity of Osiris with Joseph somehow. Now, as we said, it's a Semitic feature. What was he looking at here? Yeah. By the way, is our cup half full or is it half empty? Is it half empty or is it half full? And we see in Psalm 23, in the Byington version, my cup, he says, in that version, is full of refreshment. Psalm 23 and 5, David wrote and prayed in that prayer to the true God. He said, my cup is full of refreshment. Osiris, as seen in the illustration above, has that sideburn feature, but he also has green skin, symbolizing rebirth, as green as wheat in early growth, perhaps. Yeah, as green wheat in early growth is, it's green, and that's, you get wheatgrass, it's called. One of the finest foods on earth is wheatgrass. You can grind it up into a powder, you can juice it when it's fresh, and you can get an amazingly beneficial, nutritious food from that in the wheatgrass juice or the powder. Might the green skin be found, and it's very green in color. Early growth of wheat is green. Might the green skin be found consistent with Osiris being Joseph? That's the question. How does green skin make Osiris the same person as Joseph, or does it? Does it or not? But I know there were some Josephs in my family, and my last name is Green. There were some Joseph. I had an uncle Joseph. I had a great Uncle Joe, as well as an Uncle Joe. So, to me, it means something because I had Josephs in my family. Does that mean that I'm descended from Joseph? I don't know. But the Green name is in my family, on the male side of my family. Who is Osiris, and what are the names of his parents? That's the question. That's the question we want to get to today, and I hope we have enough time to get to some of these very, very fascinating things in this article that we're going to encounter. Look at this illustration in the next paragraph at the beginning. It's an illustration of Newt, or Knight, and Geb. Or maybe it could be pronounced Neat and Geb. Newt, Neat, Nut, and Geb. And Geb is this person that we said is similar to the name Jacob. Because again, the J, if we ignore the J at the beginning, Jacob, we ignore the Y, which is from the Hebrew language, Jacob, which is that Hebrew form of Jacob, we just are left with the Kob, or the Geb, part of the name. And since G is the same as C, and the vowel is inconsequential, it's basically CB, those two letters in the name Geb. And now the name Knight, or Newt here, is the wife of Geb. It's her name. And she's depicted as arched over top of her husband in a nude pose of feet on one side, hands on the other. She's arched over and above him, and he's depicted as having the head of a snake. Geb is, but these are god personalities. She's a goddess, he's a god in the Egyptian mythology. Osiris is the son of Geb and Night, or Newt. He's their son. So if this is Jacob, and Osiris is Joseph, if Geb is Jacob and Osiris is Joseph, which has a lot of similarities to the names, Joseph and Josiris, let's say, and Jageb and Jacob, and we have Knight. The only question is, which one of Jacob's wives was Knight or Newt, right? We're going to be coming up to more information on that. We'll see that. I don't want to get ahead of us here. But Osiris was the son of Jacob, and we know he was the son of Rachel, don't we, from the Bible. If Osiris were truly Joseph, a correspondence should be between a correspondence should be seen between the parents of the one and the parents of the other. A correspondence should be seen between the parents of Joseph and the parents of Osiris, right? Should it not? For when things do not fit, we would be untruthful if we tried to force them to fit. Yeah. Right. If we don't see a correspondence, there's a problem. We can't force it to fit if we don't find anything. I mean, there'd be no basis for saying that they corresponded either if they didn't fit in any way. Similarly, if Hyperion, the father of Helios, were the same person as Jacob, because, of course, the father of Helios is also riding a chariot. He's the sun god that rides a chariot, and Joseph rode a chariot in Egypt, according to the fact that he was given that chariot by the Pharaoh, according to the Bible, right? And Hyperion is the father of Helios. So if Helios is Joseph, then Hyperion is also Jacob. And Joseph, if he were Helios as well, then the fact should plainly show this as well, the difference being Greek names instead of Egyptian ones, because Geb and Osiris are Egyptian names for Jacob and Joseph, is what we're suggesting, and Helios and Hyperion are Greek names also for Joseph and Jacob, respectively, is what we're wondering or saying here. Also, if Poseidon, the son of Cronus, the Greek god, is another Greek manifestation of the same people, it should be clear from family relationships in the Greek and Roman pantheon of gods when compared to Jacob and Joseph and their Jewish family. Poseidon, the son of Cronus. So that means Poseidon, if he's Joseph, and again we have the pose, like it's like Joe's, except it's pose. But the thing is, pose, Poseidon, actually means Lord. Lord of own is what Poseidon means. So, and that's the only way I could find any meaning for that word, Poseidon. You look it up all over, everywhere, all around the whole world, you can't find a definition of Poseidon and what it means in Greek. But its meaning be taken as Lord of On, which fits Joseph because he married the daughter of the priest of On. And he's the son of Cronus. Then we have to make an investigation into the name Cronus and whether that fits Jacob again. It does have the C in the name, like the name Jacob also has the C in it. But that's not enough, I don't think, on its own, but we'll see more about that later. Heliopolis, it should be noted, was during the days after Joseph, a city of Egyptian renown, known to the Greeks. They knew the city of Heliopolis, and that city also having schools of philosophy and astronomy, which were reputedly frequented by such famous Greeks as Homer, Solon, Pythagoras, and Plato. Homer, famous author. Solon, famous person, I believe a politician. Pythagoras, famous mathematician, and Plato, famous philosopher of the Greeks. All of them. The Cushites are people of Nubia, ancient Ethiopia or Sudan, the republic of the modern day, were conquered by Egypt in about 1520 BCE. Thus we see that the feather horns of Amun, dating to the time of the legend of the phoenix, assumed the form of ram's horns as late as Moses' years. Which were 1572 to 1452 BCE. Those were the years of the life of Moses in our chronology. The two sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, were described in the Bible as the two horns of a bull. From Genesis, no, pardon me, Deuteronomy. From Deuteronomy, I need to get the... It's Bible Gateway. Okay, so that should be a good link. Here it is. Deuteronomy. Actually, we're quoting verse 17, so we look to the bottom. He'll gore the nations with those horns, push them all to the ends of the earth. Ephraim by the 10,000s will do this. Manasseh by the 1,000s will do this. So let's go there. Deuteronomy 34. And, oh, it's not 34. 33? It's not, wait a minute, it's Genesis, isn't it? No. No, it is Deuteronomy, yeah. But it was prophesied by Jacob in the book of Genesis, too, a similar thing. He prophesied regarding Manasseh and Ephraim. That's why I thought of Genesis. So if we look, if we click on that, maybe it'll refer back to Genesis. Yeah, it does. Genesis 48 and 19, it says also that Jacob was saying to Joseph, I know it, my son. I know it. He too will become a people, referring to Manasseh, and he too will become great. He was the elder of the two sons, but just the same, his younger brother will become greater than he will. Jacob prophesied in the book of Genesis, chapter 48. But in Deuteronomy 33 and 17, as the firstborn of a bull, his splendor is, referring to Joseph in verse 16, and his horns are the horns of a wild bull. With them he will push peoples all together to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the 1,000s of Manasseh, that being from the 1984 New World Translation. And all of this actually is verse 17, I just realized. Blessed by God be his land. No, it's verse 13 to 17 because it's talking about Joseph, right? In splendor, he's like a firstborn bull. His horns, the horns of a wild ox. That's the scripture I wanted to get from the Gateway. Or as it's called, Bible Gateway Online, okay? BibleGateway.com, that is. In our it's the reference that we used. So the illustration also here we have of Poseidon with the trident, which again resembles the pitchfork, does it not, of a harvester. And we know that Joseph was lord of Egypt and also lord of On, of course, but he was lord of the city of On because he was, and therefore because he was the lord of that city of Heliopolis, he's also identifiable as that god Helios, who obviously was associated with the city of Heliopolis, which is called On in Egyptian, the Greek name being Heliopolis. So the Greek god Helios is a direct correspondence to the person of Jacob, the name of Joseph, because Joseph is the one who became the ruler of Egypt, not Jacob, Joseph. But Joseph is therefore Helios, and even Helios has the name OS at the end, which is again Joseph as the OS in Joseph. I mean, I just can't get over it. I keep noticing more similarities all the time. But and Poseidon has the OS in it. But Poseidon, we said, means Lord of On, actually. Thor, the god of the Vikings, rides a chariot. Here's another one. In the Viking gods, Thor, the god of the Vikings, rides a chariot. Now, this is not necessarily to do with Joseph, but that chariot of Thor was pulled by two goats called Gaptooth and Tooth Grinder. Now, Poseidon rides a chariot pulled by two or four horses and carries with him a trident or pitchfork. The pitchfork cannot be associated with anything other than farming, or more specifically, the harvest. The name Poseidon means Lord of On. Where did I find that? I had a long, long, long struggle trying to find a name, any meaning for the name Poseidon. And I finally arrived at the identification of the definition of Poseidon as Lord of On. As the capital of Egypt for a period of time, grain was stored in Heliopolis. This is a bad quote because grain is not the capital of Egypt, and yet it says as the capital of Egypt for a period of time. Grain was stored. That's bad grammar, right? We see this grammar mistake made all the time in, unfortunately, in all sorts of places all over the world. As the capital of Egypt for a period of time, the city of Heliopolis was a place used to store grain for the winter months. That's how it should be written. When many people would descend on the town to be fed, feeding it to gain the title, or leading to it gaining the title. Excuse me for misparaphrasing that. This led to the city of Heliopolis gaining the title, quote, place of bread, end quote. Imagine that. Okay, so this is the proof that grain was stored. This is from State Master Heliopolis, ancient. Don't know if this website's still there. No, it's not there. It doesn't. Well, it's trying to load right now. I think it's too slow, so it's probably a broken link. But I got this information from somewhere about ancient Heliopolis. Many people would descend to be fed. They would descend upon the town of Heliopolis. So it became known as the place of bread. The Book of the Dead goes further and describes how Heliopolis was the place. This is the Book of the Dead, very famous source in the Egyptian literature. It goes further and describes how Heliopolis was the place of multiplying bread. And that's amazing because that's like Jesus who multiplied the bread in the Bible, in the account of the Gospels. But it's really not talking about that because this is long before Jesus. When Heliopolis was a city, it's recounting in the Book of the Dead a myth in which Horus feeds the masses there with only 7 loaves. Doesn't that exactly correspond with what we find in the tale, the gospel account, actually? Look up 7 loaves. What do we find? He took the 7 loaves, Matthew 15 and 36, rather, and the fishes. And after offering thanks, he broke them and began distributing them to the disciples. The disciples in turn to the crowds. So this idea of multiplying loaves existed as far back as the Greek god Horus feeding the masses at the city of On or Heliopolis. How magnificent is that as a correspondence to what we're talking about? But not only that, okay, it makes us think maybe Horus is Joseph, right? And Horus is the son of Osiris. So if that were true, that would make Osiris Jacob, and it would change things a little bit. But we don't expect mythology to always perfectly line up with every generation and everything chronologically. It doesn't have to, because mythology doesn't have chronology. Mythology doesn't have a timing alignment. So the fact that it's Horus who feeds the masses, well, maybe it was one of Joseph's sons who was doing the helping, right? Horus would be possibly his son known as Ephraim. Possibly. I never thought of that before, because Horus was like also, it's comparable, he's comparable to Hercules. Horus, like, he's the stronger of the two sons in being Ephraim, that is. If Ephraim's the stronger of the two sons, which he was, even though he was younger, he would correspond to Hercules. And he corresponds to Senusret III in another place where we identified the pharaohs corresponding to Joseph and his son Ephraim as Senusret II and Senusret III, respectively. Senusret III was a giant and very strong, and he corresponds with Horus very well. And he also, we identify with Ephraim. But Poseidon is the god of the sea. Coming back to Poseidon, he's the god of earthquakes and horses. His symbols are the trident, fish, dolphin, horse, and bull. note that in addition to being the god of the sea, he's a god of fresh water as well. So that Poseidon relates well to Joseph, the son of Jacob, in regard to water, where Joseph helped the people of Egypt overcome the seven-year famine, which occurred at the time when Joseph was about 37 years old. But it might go back beyond this. As Zechariah Sitchin, linguist and biblical scholar, relates, quote, it was, historians related, when Joseph was more than 100, but still held a high position in the Egyptian court. The other viziers and court officials, envying Joseph, persuaded the Pharaoh that to remain venerated, Joseph should not rest on his laurels. He must prove again his abilities. When the Pharaoh agreed, the viziers suggested an impossible project: to convert the desert into a fertile area. Inspired by God, Joseph confounded his detractors by succeeding. He dug feeder canals and created the vast artificial lake in 1,000 days, the Jewish week. That's the end of the quote, and the source was the Jewish Week and the American Examiner, July 22, 1983. Zechariah Sitchin. Doubt this link works, but oh, it does work. The link still works. Amazing. We should save this. We should save it for sure. Let's save it right now. We've got research reference, save. Make sure I have a copy of that. Okay. So, we're not going to be able to continue further because we're out of time for today. We got down to the seven loaves of Horus, corresponding to the 7 years of plenty in Egypt. Also, is the next sentence. This is a really, really phenomenal story, is it not? About how this corresponds with the Jewish, as well as... how the Jewish and the Bible history, which is Jewish, corresponds to the Egyptian and the Greek mythology. Isn't it remarkable? It's just so incredible and exciting. And then we have this incredible myth about, it's not even a myth, it's a story related by the historians about Joseph when he was 100 years old. We're going to talk about that hopefully more tomorrow. This is February 2nd, 2025 of the Common Era, and I love you very much. I'm Ward Green. The time is 21:38 hours Canadian Eastern Time on my behalf. This is Sissy, and this is Star saying bye for now, and that is paragraph I have no idea what. Let's try and find out. Let's go back to where we were and see how many we... Okay, one... So that's 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. We're on paragraph 29. No, that's 29. Right. 30.